Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 40 through 42. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. Now a leper came to him, to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge our dependence upon you for life, breath, and all things. And we are here this morning, Father, in order to express that reality through our worship of you. We devote this part of our week, Father, to gather together as believers in Jesus Christ, because he is our hope and our life. And I pray, Father, that as we are gathered here, that you would move among us, that you would speak truth to us, that you would receive the worship of our lips and our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would set a guard over my lips, that I would speak those things that are right and true, and that you'd be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. At one time or another, most of us experience what it's like to be on the outside looking in. The last one chosen when teams are picked for basketball, not being invited to the prom, being at a party where everyone else is having fun and you're just standing alone in the corner. At some point in our lives, most of us have had those times when we felt the sting of rejection, when we sensed that we didn't belong, that we weren't wanted. But the truth is that most of us don't experience that rejection in an extended way. Because of that, I'm not sure it's easy for us to fully understand all that Jesus means to those who do experience that rejection every day. In this passage we just read, Jesus is being approached by a man who has experienced that kind of rejection. He's a leper, we're told, and that designation in and of itself is instructive. Can you imagine being defined by your disease? And yet for the people of Jesus' time, the disease pretty much did define the man. The two were almost seen as synonymous. The diseased person had little identity apart from his disease. His whole life was colored and interpreted by it. According to the Old Testament, someone with leprosy was to be separated from the community. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 tell us, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Essentially, the person with leprosy was to be quarantined, but the Jews had gone even farther than the Bible's instructions warranted, because Miriam, Moses' sister, had been given leprosy as a result of her rebellion and slander against Moses, because Elisha's servant Gehazi had been given leprosy as a result of his sin. The Jews believed that all leprosy was divine punishment on those guilty of sin. So in addition to his physical suffering and the isolation from the rest of humanity, the leper also lived with a sense of spiritual rejection. Even God would have nothing to do with him. So now maybe you have some context for understanding how this leper who came to Jesus must have felt. The risk he was taking in coming to Jesus. The religious leaders of Jesus' day weren't exactly noted for their sympathy for hurting people, and especially if people were suffering as a consequence of their sin. And remember, leprosy was viewed as a consequence of sin. Moreover, lepers were supposed to remain outside the camp. They weren't supposed to approach people. In fact, if you remember from the Old Testament passage I quoted to you earlier, lepers were supposed to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," whenever they saw someone approaching them. It was a warning for the person not to come near. But this leper comes to Jesus. Even though he's taking a risk, he comes to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down before him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean," verse 40 tells us. I hope you hear the desperation in his voice, the hope, the faith, because that's why he's come to Jesus, why he's taken this risk, because he's hoping that Jesus isn't like the other religious leaders, that Jesus won't reject him. And he believes that Jesus can do something. In a life of hopelessness, Jesus represents hope for this man. And so the leper came to him, verse 40 tells us, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And that's an amazing statement of trust in Jesus and also of his humility. He doesn't demand this of Jesus. He pleads. And he doesn't doubt. He knows Jesus can heal him. "If you are willing," he confesses, "you can make me clean." How does Jesus respond? Verse 41, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.'" You know, when I think when we read passages like this, we often pass over them too quickly, and so we don't fully appreciate the truth being conveyed. We know Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead. So healing a leper, well, that's just something Jesus does. So we read a verse like this and then move on to the next verses without allowing ourselves to feel the weight of what we're being told. But each person Jesus healed or delivered from demonic possession or raised from the dead was a flesh and blood human being. Each one had his own story. Each one had people who loved him. Each one had his own unique struggles and pain. And for each one, what Jesus did was life-changing. When you think about it, this is one of the most touching verses in the Bible, not just because it tells us that Jesus had compassion on this hurting man. That's so in keeping with what we've heard about Jesus that it doesn't surprise us. Now, I think the part of the verse that makes it so moving is the part that tells us that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Do you know how long it had probably been since this man had been touched by another human being? Probably not since the priest had examined him and determined that he had leprosy. At that point, he would have been removed from the community. At that point, he would have been required to leave his clothes torn and his head uncovered so that anyone approaching him would be able to see he had leprosy. At that point, he would have been required to warn anyone coming near him, "Unclean, unclean," so that other people would avoid him. Do you know how long it had probably been since he'd been touched? And do you realize how important physical touch is to human beings? Babies that are deprived of physical touch will die. The more physical touch children receive during the early years of their lives, the better their emotional development, the better their intellectual development. That's because human beings have a built-in need for the physical touch of other human beings. And yet think about how long this man had probably gone without that physical touch. And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus didn't have to do that. He could have simply spoken the word and the man would have been healed. But Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Few words are more revealing of Jesus' character, of his mercy, his kindness, his empathy, his courage, his love. And probably few words challenge us more as Jesus' people, as those who are supposed to be like Jesus in our character. To love the hard to love, to touch the untouchables, to reach out to those others have rejected. Some time ago, I was talking with a young man who would have referred to himself as gay. He was polite and courteous, and when he found out I was a preacher, he asked me the name of the church, and he commented positively when I told him about our ministry to international students. He didn't ask me how I viewed gay people or about our church's stance on sexual issues. He didn't volunteer any details about his life. I didn't sense in him the animosity that you find in some homosexuals who display anger toward God and toward anyone who holds a traditional sexual morality. But I did sense a distance in him, a hesitancy to open up. There could have been multiple reasons for that, the most obvious being that I just met him and our conversation lasted only a short time. But there could have been another reason. For some who hold to a biblically based morality in which homosexual activity is sinful, homosexuals are often seen in a similar way to the lepers of Jesus' day, viewed with disdain and disgust, an outcast, one cursed by God. So perhaps when that young man found out I was a Christian, that's what he expected my reaction would be to any revelation of his sexual orientation. And so he held himself at a distance, wary of what I might say to him, how I might treat him if he opened up about his life. But what if, instead of what he had expected, I had not defined him by his sin? What if I talked with him about other things in his life and not just his sexual orientation? What if I'd communicated the common brokenness all of us have as human beings and the need that every one of us has for God's mercy and forgiveness? I was reading a book recently in which the author, Casey Cole, was writing about what he had been told by a Catholic friar as he was beginning the first year of his training to be a friar. The purpose of this year, beyond all else, the friar told him, is to realize that Jesus is the only one you will ever find in your life who will never let you down. The brothers will let you down. The church will let you down. You even will let yourself down. But Jesus will never let you down. Learn with all your heart to trust Him and Him alone. What if that young man I mentioned had sensed in me someone with whom he could have opened up with about his life, his struggles, his fears, his questions about God? What if I could have helped him see Jesus for who Jesus is? Could have helped him see in Jesus the very face of God, a God who loves him, was reaching out to him, would forgive him, wanted to heal him. I remember reading once about a trip that Mother Teresa had taken to the United States. She was visiting with AIDS patients in a hospital. And these weren't people who had AIDS because of tainted blood transfusions. These were homosexuals and drug addicts who had AIDS because of the lifestyle choices they had made. And this was early on in the AIDS epidemic when we weren't sure as to just how contagious AIDS actually was. So Mother Teresa went to the hospital, and at the insistence of the hospital staff, she put on hospital scrubs, surgical gloves, and a surgical mask. And then they took her to the AIDS ward. She walked with the doctors and nurses into the first room, and she saw a thin young man lying there, splotches on his skin, tubes in his arm, his eyes sunken and weak as he stared up at her. And then Mother Teresa did something that no one expected. She took off the latex gloves, she reached out her hands, and she touched him. She held his hand in hers. She gently stroked his arm. She talked to him. And then she prayed with him. Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. What does it feel like to be touched by Jesus? To be touched by the one who can cleanse you and make you whole? Let's pray. You know, I don't know what each of your experiences of coming to Jesus was like, but I know that for many people, it's like that of this leper. They've come to him with a broken life, almost all their hope gone. And they've received in Jesus forgiveness and cleansing and a fresh start. For them, their conversion was a moving experience, because they understand the depth of their need for Christ and the sufficiency he had to meet that need. You know, in reality, we're all lepers, all standing in need of his cleansing, of his forgiveness. But so often we don't recognize that, not fully. Which means then that when we receive the forgiveness and the cleansing, we don't always appreciate it as fully as we ought. And it doesn't always result in the heart surrender that it ought to result in, to where our lives no longer belong to us, but to him. What would you do for someone who gave you back your life? We're about to remember the sacrifice he made as we share together in communion. To remember that once for all sacrifice made on the cross by which we have been cleansed, made acceptable before a holy God. We don't have to remain outside the camp anymore. We can come into his presence. We can experience his touch. And so ask God to give you a fresh awareness this morning as you take this communion of all that Jesus means. Ask God to help you remember the significance of his sacrifice and the hopelessness that we all have apart from his sacrifice. While you're talking with God about whatever he may have brought to your mind, maybe you're here this morning and you haven't yet come to know this God. There is none like him. There's none in whom you can find the depth of love that he has, nor the willingness to accept you as you are in your brokenness in order that he might bring healing. And so if you are with us this morning and you're not sure there's a time in your life where you have truly trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, this is your chance. All you need to do is raise your hand. I'll pray a word. I'll pray the prayer aloud. You can repeat the word silently to the Lord. God has not complicated salvation. He's done everything necessary in order to secure it for us through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross, whose sacrifice we know was acceptable because death could not hold Jesus and he was raised from the dead the third day. He just wants you to want him, to understand your need of him, that you've sinned, you stand in need of forgiveness, that Jesus is the Savior, and you want to turn your life over to him. If that's where you are this morning, if you would raise your hand right now, I will lead you in a prayer, a confession. Again, all you need to do is raise your hand.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978. If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.